Would you join me in the responsive call to worship? The heavens declare the glory of God. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day, creation pours forth speech, and night after night displays God's knowledge. It goes out into all the earth and the words to the ends of the world. May the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Our first hymn is the hymn of praise, Please Stand, How Great Thou Art, 467.
Thank you.
Will you join me in the prayer of confession and then in the silent moments of confession? Eternal and gracious God, you have loved us with unfailing, self-giving mercy, but we have not loved you. While you have been near to us, our hearts and minds are often far from you. We strive and struggle all on our own strength to bring about the good we desire. We fail to begin with your grace and find your help. Merciful God, help us to remember to turn to you early and often. Let your Holy Spirit fill our lives, our speech, and our thoughts. Help us to abide in you and find the resources we need for living in the ways of Jesus Christ. Amen. And now the assurance of pardon. The God who challenges us is also the God who encourages us. The God who confronts us is also the God who accepts us. Be assured that God is with us even now, accepting, guiding, and forgiving. Thanks be to God. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Would you stand for the Gloria Patri?
Good morning. Have y'all ever seen any of these little rocks like this? Y'all want to get one? Pick one out. Kind of neat looking, aren't they? Somebody did a lot of work painting on these. I didn't do it. Somebody did. They got words written on it. What is yours?
Welcome, friends. Welcome, friends. Welcome, friends.
Yeah, let's see, mine, this one says, enjoy life. What I'm told is these rocks are called kindness rocks. We have them and put them around the edge of a flower garden or have them sitting on the table on the front porch. And the idea being is when you see these rocks, you think about being kind to other people. And think about something somebody did nice to you, and then you turn around and play it forward and do something nice for somebody else. Do you remember the pastor that we had a few weeks ago, John McDonald, how he would end all of his benedictions? Can you remember what he said?
No.
Right, he quoted from Micah. He said, what does the Lord require of you? But to do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with your God. So when all this teaching that Jesus gave us, it just comes down to two things. Love God and love your neighbor. And so when you have these kindness rocks and see those, it tells us to be kind and nice to other people. Okay? Y'all want to keep the rocks? we'll put them back in the flower garden. Lord, we thank you for the words that you've given us, and help us to follow those words of Michael, to be kind and nice to our fellow man. In Jesus' name, amen.
Join me in the prayer for illumination. Guide us, O God, by your word and spirit, that in your light we may see light, in your truth find freedom, and in your will discover your peace, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our first scripture lesson is from the Old Testament, from the Psalms 121. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From whence does my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not smite you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore.
Thank you. gospel reading for this morning is a familiar one to many. We think of it often as the vine and branches passage. So let us listen for God's word as it comes to us in John's gospel, the 15th chapter, the first 8 verses. Jesus said, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it'll be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Well, despite the heat and the humidity today, Jesus' teaching is going to take us outdoors to the natural world. And there's much to be learned in observing the created world and thinking about who we are as we remember God's creation, the vastness of it, and the interconnectedness of it. I suspect this is one of the reasons that Jesus was continually calling the disciples to consider the lilies of the field, or the sparrows in the air. The reason why he told parables about mustard seeds and seeds sown on different kinds of soil, the kingdom hidden as a treasure in a country field, lessons to be learned from the wheat and the tares, fig trees, what to do when weeds grow amid wheat, and how often he called upon that metaphor in the Old Testament of God's people being the vineyard and God being the vineyard keeper. I enjoy spending time in our yard and keeping watch over it. The family that we bought our house from in Bedford were amazing stewards of the plants, the trees, and the flowers in this yard for over 35 years. And Almeida was a master gardener who had an extraordinary green thumb. So from all of her work over all those years, we enjoy so many of the flowers and plants that we had no hand in planting. I stumble and bumble around our yard in my efforts. Certainly, I've got my hands dirty trying, but I have a pretty iffy record when it comes to adding new things to the yard. Some of my efforts have survived, but some have not. One of the things about working in the yard and my small attempts at gardening is discovering how surprising creation can be. Working in Mother Nature's arena teaches humility because things happen that you don't expect. All of our 18 boxwood bushes were taken out by the boxwood blight, if you've been dealing with that. There was nothing that we could do. But at the same time, I find other plants that we hadn't watered, hadn't tended, hadn't noticed, that all of a sudden stop you in your tracks with their beauty. Gardening can be hard work, but of course, a lot of it is beyond our control. It teaches us the humility of realizing how much is in the Creator's hands. I'm sure that a number of you are gifted gardeners and are very skilled at tending God's creation. So you may find the teaching of Jesus in the 15th chapter of John to be of particular interest. Jesus once again calls upon images from the natural world to describe the Christian life. Jesus was teaching the disciples in this chapter not long before what would come as his arrest. And it was an intimate moment that he shared with them as he was preparing them and giving them parting words of wisdom. He chose this metaphor from nature to describe his relationship to them and his relationship to the Father. It's a bit of heavenly horticulture. It gives us some insight into the life of faith. "I am the true vine," he says, "and my Father is the gardener. You are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them bear much fruit. And the image is rich in meaning. Christ is the vine, the source of our life, and we are the branches engrafted into him, bearing fruit from the source of life. God is the vine dresser, the pruner, the one who cuts back the branches of our lives that are withering so that other branches may grow more fully and bear fruit. Pruning's important work. It takes time. It's done in specific seasons. When you prune a tree, it stimulates growth. So we often don't stimulate in late fall because it prune in late fall because it stimulates the tree as it's getting ready to go dormant. The vine grower tends to the branches and nurtures growth and flourishing. The branches do not grow and develop on their own strength, but they simply receive nutrients through the vine. Plants, unlike humans, do not grow and work through the sheer exercise of will. Have you ever seen a tomato on the vine just pushing with all of its might to force itself into ripeness? No, they simply receive what they need through the vine. So the metaphor of the vine and branches shows us an important part of the life of faith is simply receiving. We cannot bear spiritual fruit in our lives all by ourselves. The growth that happens in the life of faith is not something that we can control or produce through the sweat of our brow, even though, of course, the life of faith does require much effort. We rely upon God for the growth and the Holy Spirit to bear fruit. Paul reminded the church in Galatia of this very truth when he spoke of the fruits of the Holy Spirit with these words, that those fruits were love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And if you just take one of those, joy, we know that joy is not a fruit that we can make happen through the sheer force of our will. Be joyful is not a command that works very well. Joy is more of a gift to be received than an accomplishment to attain. So it is with the fruits of the Spirit, the gifts of the Christian life that come through being engrafted in Christ. And this is good, good news. But it runs against the grain of what we often experience in life. This is something in Jesus' teaching that challenges how we usually think about things. I suspect that many of us, when they hear the preacher talking about the necessity of receiving the gifts of God rather than working for them, have some questions to ask. What about that 20-item to-do list on the refrigerator door? You know that list. I've got one myself. Maybe you're already thinking about that list in worship this morning. Does Jesus' teaching about the vine and the branches mean that the Christian life is wholly passive, a thoroughly quiet reception requiring no sweat equity? Not at all. Jesus also taught parables about the active life of faith that requires sowing seeds, not burying one's talents in the dirt, but rather exercising them. But in this particular teaching, we remember that without resting within the sustaining life of the vine, the branches of our lives wither and fail to grow. The life of faith is an integration of both, of acting and being still, doing a kind deed for a neighbor, and taking time to quietly reflect in prayer, loving a family member and receiving love, extending a gracious hand to a person in need and receiving grace from others and letting it replenish our spirits. Doing love and praying, giving and receiving, acting as God's loving people and allowing that all God's children need to be nourished by the Spirit. Do you remember those two very different sisters in the New Testament who were such good friends to Jesus, Mary and Martha? Martha was the doer, the list maker, the active sister. Mary was the quiet, reflective one who sat at the feet of Jesus and listened. Both were faithful, important sisters in the story of Jesus. And both of these parts of the Christian life are important for healthy growth, doing and being still. In today's passage from John 15, the time that Jesus told his disciples that he was the vine and they were the branches, this particular one, this is a Mary passage. The image of the vine and the branches stresses the importance of receiving. It's a passage that reminds us that part of the Christian life is the quiet, reflective receiving of God's gift that comes through still practices like prayer, reading, and appreciating the beauty of nature. The word that Jesus used along with the gardening metaphor of the vine and the branches is the word remain or abide. He is the vine, and we abide in him. Abiding is important throughout the Gospel of John. It appears at the very beginning of John's Gospel. It goes through John's Gospel and is at the very end when John declares of his beloved disciple, "If I wish him to abide until I come, what is that to you? Follow me." John's reminding us that abiding is very important. Where Jesus abides and how we who believe in him abide show us something about the Christian life. And that word in the New Testament, in the Greek, meno, has several very deep meanings. To abide is to dwell, to stay with, to remain. And abide is ultimately to rest in. Sometimes we're slow to think of rest as important for the Christian life. But of course, it's throughout the scriptures. Even a day set aside, Sabbath, a day of rest for being restored, renewed, that was so important in the Genesis story that even God rested on the seventh day. The longer an orchestra plays, the more it needs to be tuned. The farther an airplane flies, the more it needs to be serviced. The more busy and demanding life becomes, the more people need that inner reservoir of strength that the psalm says restores the soul. Let me share with you an example of abiding from church history. Julian of Norwich was born in the city of England in 1342, and Julian was an anchoress. That meant that she, in effect, was a hermit. She withdrew from society in order to devote herself completely to prayer and contemplation. The spiritual writings that we have of her still continue to inspire Christians to prayer and devotion, even 600 years after they were written. Her small room where she lived was built into the wall of the church in Norwich. It was her home until she died at the age of 74. From her small room in which she stayed, she could see the altar and receive communion through an opening in the church's wall. Through this window, she also received visitors who flocked to her in droves for counsel and guidance. The period of time in which Julian lived was tumultuous. England and France fought the on-again, off-again Hundred Years' War. Closer to home, Julian had seen the ravages of the Peasants' Revolt of 1381. And despite all of this turmoil, or perhaps in part because of it, people came to Julian and her little room in the church wall. They came from all over to visit her, from the powerful nobles and merchants to peasants and farmers. They came to her window, asked for her to pray for them. Her life reminds us of the importance of prayer, reflection, and abiding in God. Now, as a Presbyterian minister, I do not find many lay people preparing themselves for the monastic life outside of the ordinary life we live. But Julian's story points those powerful resources of abiding, stillness, and prayerfulness. A more contemporary example is a beloved soul that I met when I pastored his church. David was an elder in his Presbyterian church, and he had retired early from working at his insurance office. And for years, he had been the scoutmaster of the Boy Scout troop that met at his congregation. He'd been a very active person in his church, in his community. He was an outdoorsman and an athlete, but he had been declining physically from the effects of Guillain-Barré syndrome, which would later in his life confine him to a wheelchair. I always enjoyed talking with David after church, and one Sunday he invited me to a Friday morning breakfast group. And so one Friday I showed up at the diner that he had mentioned. There were about 15 guys gathered drinking coffee and ordering breakfast, and the food came out and David offered a prayer, and then the group started talking about their families, how their lives were going, what was going on at work or in their community. They were honestly sharing some of the challenges that they had experienced. And I watched David engage with this group. He was jotting down notes about each person in his small prayer journal to remember later for them as he prayed for them. And after an hour, folks started to head out for work, for home. And I hung around and talked with David and learned that he had started this group a decade before, when he became unable to do many of the physical activities that he had before in life. And the experience of this group had turned out to be one of the most meaningful experiences of his life. He had grown through this experience in faith, through the exercise of prayer, in ways that brought tears to his eyes. People continued to come to him and be blessed through his presence and friendship. Fruits of his life were shared with many who came and went from this group and learned together the sustaining resources of God's Spirit. May God use this time, this morning, to nourish our spirits and refresh our souls. May this hour bring to our hearts and minds the image of Jesus the vine, the one who brings life to us, and we the branches who abide in him. And then as we go from this place to all the relationships and activities of this week, may the Holy Spirit bring forth fruit in us to share with others. I close this morning with a prayer from the writer Robert Speer. O God, deliver us from the foolishness of self-confidence and boasting. Teach us that the deep springs of water are not in ourselves, but in you. Rather, we know that when we are weak in ourselves, that we are strong in you, and your power is made perfect in our lack of power. Here may we find our rest and feel the tides of your mighty Spirit, for thine is the kingdom, the power, and glory. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us stand together as we confess the faith of the church, saying together the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. Third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Our next hymn is number 293. This is my Father's world. Please be seated. Let us pray. Eternal God, fountain of life and love, from all the noise and striving of the world, we turn once again to you. You are the keeper of our lives. You are our shade amidst the heat of the challenges that we experience. You are our help when so often we feel that we are the only ones who can help ourselves or others. We offer our gratitude for your faithfulness to us. Your faithfulness is the beginning of our own faith. Your grace is the source of all good things for which we hope and pray. Lead us by your Holy Spirit to find our rest in Jesus Christ. He invited us to be his followers and paradoxically find in following him that his yoke is easy and burden light, and in him find rest for our souls. We think of summertime as a time for rest and vacation, yet we ask that the time that we spend at the ocean or mountains or home would be more than just an opportunity to collapse from the demands of life. Help us to rest in you and be renewed for the abundance that comes through a life of trusting in you. We pray for our world that is stressed out by the speed at which people are pushed and pulled to live. If the fruits of the Spirit include patience and peace and kindness, we know that all of us need your help, O God. Add your blessings to this community of Danville, that people may take time to live in relationship with one another and not just compete against each other. Bless all those who seek to build up and contribute to one another rather than just take for themselves. Watch over all those who are at special times of need or crisis. Hear our prayers for this congregation and each person which makes it the body of Christ. Add your blessings to those named on our prayer list and to each of us where we are in need. Go before us into this new week and keep us in the ways of Christ, the one who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now with gladness, let us bring the offerings of our life and labor to the Lord.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Ever-present God, with this offering we present also ourselves, all that we have been, all that we are, all that we shall become, and our resolve to walk in your way. Accept us and our offering, we pray for Jesus' sake. Amen. Our closing hymn is the insert hymn, I Need Thee Every Hour. Friends, as you go into this new week, go trusting that Christ goes before you to prepare the way for you. And he goes behind you to nudge you in the way of faith. He goes beside you to befriend you and to accompany you along life's way. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you now and always. Amen.